Good morning, everyone. Oh, it's Friday morning. My microphone is working on this Friday morning, which is always good. I've got my Baby Yoda mug because somebody told me this is my Friday mug. Now I feel obligated to always use this on Friday. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a good morning so far. And I hope you're looking forward to our time in Psalm 21. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Psalm 21 is what's on tap for us this morning. And it is a Psalm of David, and it's a great Psalm of encouragement for us. And it points us to Christ, and it helps us to see so much in Christ and so much that we have in Christ, so much that God has for us in Christ. So let's pray, and we'll dig into this wonderful psalm together. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us with a love that is unending, rich, full, wonderfully undeserved, and yet joyously complete is your love for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, would you meet with us this morning as we look to Psalm 21? Please let your Holy Spirit come. May your Holy Spirit come and write this word on our hearts. May your Holy Spirit come and make us attentive and receptive to the power and truth of your word and to the glory of your Son. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, Psalm 21 is where we are this morning. Let's dig in. It is written to the choir master, and it is a Psalm of David. And I need to do something real quick before I go any further. This will work, I think. I have to adjust how I do my mouse, or it keeps shaking the screen if I don't move it. So. Allergy cough. Did you guys see the snow yesterday? Wasn't that strange? Snow on April 22nd. All right. Psalm 21 is written to the choir master. It is a Psalm of David. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked of you, you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. He asked life of you, you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow upon him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed, for you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Amen. This is a wonderful psalm. So it's a Psalm of David, and but ultimately, like several of David's psalms, David says more in this psalm than could rightly be applied to him. So, for example, verse 4, he asked of you, he asked life of you, you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. Well, David died and was buried. David was not given length of days forever and ever. But through David, the Holy Spirit inspires this psalm about the greater David, the greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is the king of Psalm 21. And he rejoices because he's been raised from the dead and seated in glory and crowned with glory and honor, and all things have been put under his feet. So this psalm is really a psalm of the resurrection and exaltation and the coming return of Christ. So let's walk through it again, looking at it from that perspective. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exalts. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ as the king, the anointed king. Even from the moment of his anointing as king, which was done by John the Baptist in the Jordan River at his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven and rested upon him. So there was the anointing of John's baptism of Jesus, and then there was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is a parallel for us to understand that water baptism is a picture that needs to be fulfilled by spirit baptism, but for Jesus it was the anointing by John the Baptist, the priest, because he was a priest and from a priestly family, and then the anointing of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And it was only as he was filled with the Holy Spirit that Jesus went into the wilderness and was tempted for us for 40 days and 40 nights and faced the devil. And he ministered in the power of God. In Acts 10, Peter tells Cornelius in his house how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. So that is just how Jesus ministered, was in the strength of the Lord, in the anointed power of the Lord, as the Messiah, as the man Christ Jesus, as our anointed king. He ministered in the strength of the Lord. And throughout his days, we've referenced this verse a few times before in our Psalms devotionals, but throughout his days on earth, Hebrews tells us that he cried out to the Lord to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission, his piety, his obedience. He was heard by God. And so here we have that. We have this as Jesus rejoicing because he asked. He asked life of you. Save me from death. And you gave it to him, resurrection life. And resurrection life for Jesus is unique among all people in human history. It is length of days forever and ever. Our sermon this Sunday is going to focus on Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection. Jesus was the first one to be resurrected with this kind of resurrection, length of days forever and ever. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his resurrected human body, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in majesty, in glory. He is 2,000 years old plus, 2,025 years old probably, and he is not old. He's not aging. He's not a day older than he was when the day he rose again from the dead. He is perfect in glory and holiness, and he will live forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. So it's because the Lord raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, splendor and majesty you bestow on him. You make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. This is the joy of Jesus, is to be in the presence of his Father, having finished the work the Father gave him to do, having accomplished all the tasks and all the work of salvation that he was given. He is in the blessed presence of God, in the joy of God's presence forever. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. And we know God's chesed, God's covenant loyalty, God's covenant faithfulness, reassures us that because Jesus has done everything to fulfill all the covenant obligations, therefore he will never be moved from his throne. We never have to wonder if somehow tomorrow morning or somehow next week we're going to wake up and Jesus isn't going to be the king anymore. No, he's going to continue to reign forever and ever. He shall never be moved. His kingdom is a kingdom that is forever and ever because of God's chesed, his covenant, steadfast, loyal love, and because Jesus has fulfilled all the covenant obligations, he receives all the covenant blessings forever and ever. And then we come to judgment. We sort of pivot when we go from verse 7 to verse 8. We pivot from the exaltation of Christ to the right hand of God the Father to the coming judgment of the world through Christ. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. Jesus is the right hand of God, and he will come again. And Revelation pictures him as having a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth where he speaks the truth and it penetrates and it cuts and he judges and he has eyes of flaming fire. He sees with purity and absolute rightness. So he will find out. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. And here it kind of goes back and forth between, is it God who's appearing or is it the King of Glory who's appearing? And the answer, of course, is yes. Because Jesus is the God-man, and as the King, he is the Lord Almighty and the King over God's people. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plot evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed, for you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing your praise and power. So this is primarily a psalm about Jesus, but as with all the psalms, it's also about us as we are in Christ. So it's also about us as we are in Christ. And so we can rejoice in the strength of the Lord. And we can look at this same psalm and we can say, oh, this word salvation, for Jesus it was the salvation of God from to deliver him from death, to exalt him to his right hand. For us, this salvation is Jesus, right? Pointed out to you several times, it's the same Hebrew word, Yeshua, for Jesus and for salvation. And so we can rejoice and we can exalt in the strength of the Lord and in his salvation, which is now in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, having fulfilled all covenant obligations, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having been given eternal life, having been given all rich blessings and the crown of fine gold as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is now our salvation. He is now our blessing. He now turns in love toward us as our Savior. And so we can cry out to him and we can ask him for life, for length of days forever and ever, and he will give it to us. And our glory in the future will be great through Jesus. We will actually receive splendor and majesty, the rewards of those who belong to Christ and who share in the victor spoils with him. And of course, we will take our crowns and the glory that we are given, and we will throw it at the feet of Jesus in loving worship of him forever and ever. But we will share in the triumphant victory glory of King Jesus when he comes again. The Bible says astounding things about us as believers, that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, that we will judge the nations with Christ, that we will inherit the earth, that we will receive the crown of glory for those who have persevered through hardship in trusting in Christ. As we trust in the Lord, the steadfast love of the Most High means that we will not be moved either, because Christ is the anchor of our souls, and Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and Christ cannot be dethroned. Therefore, we shall not be moved. And all of our enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, death, and Hades, all of our enemies who oppose us and oppress us and torment us and tempt us and distract us and ensnare us and wish to steal, kill, and destroy, all of our enemies will be found out by God, and they will be destroyed forever. They will be swallowed up. Death is swallowed up in victory, 1 Corinthians 15 says. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks in our sermon series as we're going through 1 Corinthians 15. But death will be swallowed up in victory when death, the last enemy, is destroyed. Death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire, and all the enemies of God's people, the devil and the beast and the false prophet and all that means in Revelation, which we don't have time to unpack right now, but they're all the enemies of God's people who deceive and distract and ensnare and enslave us. They are all thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever, and only the glory of Christ remains. And so forever and ever we will sing and praise His power. And I think of that worship scene in Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb to receive all glory and honor and thanksgiving and might, for you died, and by your blood you ransomed people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and made us a kingdom of priests to our God. It's just a wonderful praise. We're going to praise the Lord Jesus forever and ever as our enemies are destroyed and we enter into glory. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. So we see this psalm written by David is really about his greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it's about us as we are in Christ. If we are not in Christ, then we are the enemies who oppose Christ and will be judged by him one day. But if we are in Christ, we have all the blessings and all the benefits of the covenant fulfilled in him as an overflow of his abundant, steadfast love to us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for such love. Thank you for such wonderful blessings that we enjoy that are far beyond what we deserve, far beyond what we would ever even ask for or seek. We are blessed in you. We thank you that you raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. We thank you that you exalted him to your right hand where he ever lives to make intercession for us. We thank you that he is the anchor of our souls and that our salvation is complete and secure in him. We thank you, O Lord. And we pray that you would be with us, that you would go with us into this day. Help us to walk in the joy of the Lord and the strength of Christ, singing and rejoicing in his glory and power. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I hope you have a wonderfully blessed day in the Lord, and I hope to see you back here Monday morning as we continue our Psalms devotionals. Sunday morning, of course, we'll be gathering for worship at 10 o'clock. The plan is to gather under the pavilion at the 4-H camp out in the Rock State Park, Deer Creek area. And so that's our plan, to be there. The weather's looking a little bit iffy, and we don't really have an indoor option available to us at this point. So there is a possibility that if it's a rain out, we will be online only. But we will still gather for worship on the Lord's Day, hopefully in person outside. Help me pray for the weather, that God would be gracious to us in that way. And so I hope to see you Sunday morning, if not back here on Monday morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you today.